Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House Family Devotions number 300. That is day number 300. And we give God the glory, the praise, and honor for allowing us to see this milestone. It is amazing how that you can have a day 299 and knowing that 300 is coming and then totally forget about it until you wake up and God reminds you that it's day number 300. It is an important milestone because, maybe not to you, but to me, because we know that, and we all know here, that is my family and I know, that only God could have pulled this off. Each and every day for us is a miracle to be able to do this. And everybody here knows it. It may look easy to you, but it's not easy. And I thank God for my family allowing me and helping me to do this in the sense that is a very transparent situation and open and honest. And you've seen me over the past 300 days rebuke family members, share personal things that have happened in our family over the past 30 years. You've heard me also applaud family members and thank God for certain things that my family members have done and in support of the ministry and of this devotional. And so I want to publicly thank them for everything that they've done to pull this off every morning. Humanly speaking, we all know, however, God is the one who did it, and we give him the glory, praise, and honor for what he has done through us in encouraging and reminding Christians to have family devotions, and at the same time telling lost people who happen to come upon us on the internet, the World Wide Web, to trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And everybody needs to believe on Christ for their soul's salvation. And there's no other way to God Almighty. And let me be very frank about that. Buddha is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Islam is not the way. I may get killed for saying that, but it is not the way. So be it. Mormonism is not the way. Jehovah's Witness is not the way. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, the legacy we leave is not just in our possessions, if at all, but in the quality of our lives. How's your life? Then he goes on to say, the greatest waste in all of our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day. Amen, somebody. Join me, my beloved, in reciting the New Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on this 300th day of the White House family devotions in a row, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Bible reads, as we continue to deal with the family verses, which I call the family verses, these are the instructions for the Christian family. And the Bible reads in verse 1, we're dealing still with the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Stephen J. Cole continues in his commentary on this passage. He says, when Paul says to obey your parents, for this is right, he is pointing out the obvious order that God has ordained. And allow me to say this, while I was traveling back from the Billy Graham homegoing service, God gave me a thought, and I believe it's true. Oftentimes, prophets of God, those who have that prophet gift or evangelistic gift, where they're not called to pastor a local congregation, they're not pastors. Prophets, a prophet's message focuses on how things ought to be according to God and His Word. Whereas oftentimes, and I'm not saying it should be the case, pastors focus on how things are. And they deal with and respond to things as they are. And both are needed. The prophet's focus must be on how things ought to be according to God's Word, God and His Word, whereas a pastor focuses on how things are, dealing with how it is. Now, both ought to respond to those things biblically. For example, a prophet is not going to want to even try to deal with the subject of divorce from the standpoint of what people want. The prophet is going to stand firm on what God wants, and God hates divorce. Whereas a pastor is not going to compromise, a good pastor is not going to compromise, but he's going to have a heart to deal with it as it is. If you understand what I'm saying. So, why did I say that in this context? Based upon what we're reading, times are changing. Amanpour, one of the most gifted journalists in our time, is dealing with a subject today that she normally does not deal with, of course. She's dealing with a subject today regarding sex. One of the first things that she's going to say is that times are changing, people are changing, men and women are changing, in regards to sex. And it is a shame that Amanpour shows more wisdom, let me put it that way, than the church. She understands the power of all aspects of life, including sex, whereas the church does not even want to deal with it until somebody messes up sexually. But be that as it may, she is dealing with it, and then one of the first things she's going to say tonight is things are changing. And those of us who are prophetic and those of us who have a prophet's gift, we will agree with you that things are changing and people are changing and men are changing and women are changing and all of that. But God's word never changes. Amen, somebody. Same thing goes for parenting and children. God's word never changes. It is the prophet's job to remind people of that. Now, will he be seen as an old fogey? Will he be seen as a Roman Israel Esquire type fellow, out of touch, not connected with the world, not groovy, square, strange, because he believes in the old time ways? Yes. Is he going to be fun to be around? No. But just because times are changing does not mean God's word changes. And as Billy Graham often quoted from the word of God, be very careful, because a person who is often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This is why we have families that have been destroyed and without remedy. It's all totally screwed up, messed up. And no one can even get in there and untangle it. It's so messed up in many families today. And so back to the commentary. Allow me to repeat in your hearing what triggered my statements just now. When Paul says to obey your parents, for this is right, he is pointing out the obvious order that God has ordained. And that obvious order that God has ordained, not the world, not Dr. Spock, not even some of our newfangled Christian psychologists and counselors and pastors. Everybody wants to do things in a newfangled way today. Back to the commentary text. Parents are always older and more experienced than children are. This is God's divine order. Mark Twain is reported to have said that when he was 17, he was amazed at how stupid his father was. But by the time he turned 21, he was surprised at how much the old man had learned in 4 years. See, the trick, though, however, is, and this is what I want my children to do, I want them to be wise while they're young. See, I thought my dad was stupid. I thought he had lost his mind when you didn't understand how I needed the car. And you didn't understand the importance of playing the music loudly that made the whole window shake. I thought he was crazy when he told me, son, don't drive the car with the loud, the music blasting, because you can't hear traffic. You can't hear other cars coming. You can't hear the police siren. Now, he was right. He was right, but I thought he had lost his mind. I thought, what are you talking about? And then he would tell us, don't sit all close up to the television. You're going to go blind. I said, how can we go blind looking at the television? We can see it better. He was just... I thought he was losing his mind. What's wrong? But as I got older, I learned that he was much wiser and smarter than I thought when I was younger. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, on this 300th devotional in a row that has grown out of our 30 years of family devotions, we give you the glory, praise, and honor that our family turned out as well as it did. And we're not in no way perfect, but Lord, I know it's only by your grace and your miracle working power that our family has turned out as well as it has. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And I thank you for leading me to simply apply your holy word and not back down or back away from it in the midst of a whole lot of newfangled ideas about how the family should be. And but you convince me that if we don't do it according to your holy word, is not going to work, and a compromised version, even though it is more palatable to certain people in the family, does not mean it is working. And there's always an underlying undercurrent of frustration somewhere, rebelliousness, stubbornness, sin, and evil, if it is not done your way. So Lord, help us, regardless of how we may feel and what we may think, to do it your way and be blessed by you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage for today is Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Do you hope in the word of God? Your only hope in this life is God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God and the word of God. If you're hoping in anything else, I feel terribly sorry for you, because you are on the Titanic. You're on a sinking ship. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. What is my comfort? The word of God. When you're in trouble, Danae, your comfort is God. When you are in affliction, your comfort is the Lord and His Word. So read the Word of God. As your oldest sister, Danny, reads whole books of the Bible in 1 or 2 days. She's leaning on the word of God as she's facing the vicissitudes of life. You need to do the same. Stop living by your own philosophy, your own little thoughts. That's why you're in trouble all the time. Read the word of God and obey the word of God, and the word of God will comfort you in your affliction. The Bible says, "For thy word hath quickened me." Nothing can make you alive like the word of God. That's why family devotions are extremely important. Nothing can wake you up, not even coffee, not even green tea, like the word of God, spiritually speaking. "The proud have had me," verse 51, "the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law." Amen, somebody. Verse 56, "This I had because I kept thy precepts." Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, "Those that make God's promises their portion may with humble boldness make them their plea. He that by his Spirit works faith in us will work for us." Can somebody say amen? Don't you know that God is the one who works faith in us? And then he uses that faith to do great things for us. I hope that God has done some great things for you. If he hasn't, it's probably because you're not praying and asking him to. I would encourage you to exercise your faith and pray and ask God to do big things for you. He will do it. Now, you're not going to stay on the mountaintop every day. You got to come down in the valley. But God will give you some high mountain experiences for his glory, praise, and honor, and for your blessing. Because, believe it or not, God delights in blessing you. The word of God speaks comfort while we're in affliction. Amen, somebody. The first thing smart Christians do when they are in trouble, when they are having difficulty, when they are having affliction and pain in their lives, is they run to the word of God. Amen, somebody. If through grace it makes us holy, there is enough in it to make us at ease in all conditions. Let us be certain we have the divine law for what we believe, and then let not scoffers prevail upon us to decline from it. I don't know what the man was saying, but in the movie Roman Israel, his mentor had a saying that goes something like this: "I believe because of my beliefs." I don't know what's all behind that, but it sounds pretty good to me. God's judgments of old comfort. God's judgments of old comfort and encourage us, for he is still the same. And may I lovingly share with you that the faith that you had in the past, in the God of the past, the present, and the future, God will bless you in your present time of trouble, remembering what God did for you in the past. Amen, somebody. Yesterday, may God help you, my beloved, to not throw away your yesterdays. So many teenagers, so young people, they throw away their yesterdays. They don't remember what God did for them in their early life that brought them to their 21st birthday or their 25th birthday or their 27th birthday. They forget about the God who carried them when they didn't understand. So many older saints do the same thing, make the same mistake, and God has a problem with that. And if you read throughout the scriptures, God is constantly saying, do you remember what I did back yonder? Do you remember this? Do you praise me and thank me for what I've already done for you? Amen, somebody. You miss out on millions of blessings, my beloved, when you don't embrace and enjoy the memories that God has blessed you with in the past. If you don't remember what God has blessed you with in the past right now and thank Him for it, understanding that your whole life is built on what God has done for you in the past and throughout your life. You're standing on yesterdays. Remember that. For God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, somebody. Some of you have spiritual Alzheimer's disease, spiritual amnesia, and God does not like it. Dr. Daniel Amen said memories are very important. We really have no life, he says, without memories. Some of you parents who have not been good parents, you were not there for your children, you don't want to remember the past because you didn't spend any time with your children. But those good parents out there who you spent time with those children, you remember way back when they were little tots and how all of the wonderful times y'all enjoyed doing things together. There's nothing more valuable as far as life is concerned than those memories. The other day, for every Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, in fact, I had a memory yesterday, read a news report that Winn-Dixie was closing many of their stores. Well, that may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me, because every Wednesday night after Bible study, and everybody knows about, prayer meeting and Bible study, everybody knows about the afterglow of prayer meeting and Bible study. If you're saved, you know there's something goes on after that meeting. And we were not rich people, so we never really, many days we didn't have the money to buy the food ahead of time. So we would go to Winn-Dixie every Wednesday night after church and buy spaghetti and either a pizza to put in the oven, or we would stop by Pizza Hut to pick up a pizza. We always had spaghetti for Wednesday night, our Wednesday night meal. So I had fond memories of those going to Winn-Dixie, those of you who know about the Winn-Dixie grocery store chain. We would go there every Wednesday night and get for many years. Our popcorn stuff. We would have pizza and popcorn. Pizza, spaghetti, and popcorn. Now, that's been a tradition in our family for 30 years. Every Wednesday. The other day, my younger daughters wanted pizza and spaghetti, well, a different kind of spaghetti situation. And so I was passing by our favorite pizza place on my way back home, and I remembered all of the times. The place is called Royal Pizza. All of the Wednesdays and special days, we would go there, and my children would run in there and get our favorite pizza in the world, Royal Pizza. And hundreds of times we enjoyed that. And those are great memories to me. And you should have those great memories. And part of those great memories is because, in our case particularly, living by faith and preaching by faith as my only job, those were miraculous Wednesdays oftentimes, when God miraculously provided that money to buy that spaghetti dinner and that pizza. And what fun we had. I hope you have memories of God blessing your family in that way. Because as you grow older, you can run those tapes in your mind and get great pleasure and great joy. I assure you. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to love it, help us to cherish it, help us to obey it, and help us to live by it. And Lord, help us to be just as concerned as Brother Billy Graham was about living to a point where we bring shame on your name. For any of us can do it. Lord, I know I'm tempted each and every day, even at my age. And I know folks don't want to hear that, but that's the truth, and they're tempted too. And they just don't want to admit it. But Lord, it is a real battle, and we don't want to bring shame on your name. In the words of Pastor Cuthbertson, whom I visited in the hospital in Charlotte while I was there after the funeral, as he said many times, he said, "Preacher, I just don't want to live so long where I bring shame on the name of the Lord." So help us to have that healthy concern. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. And join me, ladies and gentlemen, in praying for the estates, as we've done 299 times before. There was a stretch when I tried my best to do short devotionals. They were short to us, but maybe not to you, where we didn't pray for these in specifically, but we included them in prayer as groups. And so join me in praying for the church, the church estate, the government estate, the people, the press, times two, that is the traditional press and the new press. Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership, servant leadership, and we pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, servant leaders, evangelists, missionaries, Bible teachers, and ministry workers. And we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. We pray that you would help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves. And Holy Father God, we pray for government leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And this is something I believe that we have read for 299 times in a row, and today makes 300. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, as we prayed for every president since President Reagan, we pray now for President Donald Trump, who is in a world of trouble and has been since he became president, and no doubt before. And Lord, we pray for him and his family and his administration. And Lord, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon him and his administration. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that President Trump would handle things in a Christian fashion, lead, guide, and direct the pastors who surround him to not only pray for him, but to disciple him if he is claiming to be a Christian now. And we pray for these blessings to rest upon Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Director of Policy and Interagency Coordination, Carlos E. Diaz Rosillo. We pray for all leaders of federal agencies, including Election Assistance Commission, Executive Director Brian Newby, all state governors, including Connecticut Governor Donnell Malloy, all city mayors, including Garland, Texas Mayor Douglas Athos, all members of Congress, including California Representative Nanette Barragan, and all law enforcement officials, including Madison, Wisconsin Police Chief Michael C. Koval, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, and General David G. Perkins, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, leaders of nations around the world, including Jamaica's Governor General Sir Patrick Allen and Prime Minister Andrew Holness. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David, and who's done a bang-up job. We pray that you would continue to keep Jerusalem safe, as well as Israel. Watch it back in the back. Watch that. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the people, for the citizens. Save those who are lost. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know your Savior. Have your Holy Gospel to find them. Help them to hear it, understand it, believe it, and obey it, and trust Christ as Savior. For that is the beginning of everything for all of us. And Lord, we pray for the media, the old media and the new media. Danae, we pray that you would save those who are not saved, open their blinded eyes that they may see, and help Christian journalists to stand up for their faith. We thank you for a few who are doing that. For as Mordecai told Esther, when the persecution comes, they will not be exempt. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for current events around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families of the six people killed in the bridge collapse in Miami. We pray for the recovery of those who are injured. We pray for the families of two Navy personnel killed in a plane crash in Key West, Florida. And we pray for the deliverance of Syria from the war and bloodshed which has gone on for 7 years, and all of the tragedies and afflictions and troubles and problems in the world. We pray for the people involved, that they all would come to know your Savior in the end, and that they would turn to you and obey you. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the prayer requests that have come in. We pray for these specifically by name. We pray for Ravi. Please provide his church with the Bibles and resources they need to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Gina. Please have her boyfriend to come to know you as Savior, and have your will to be done regarding their relationship going forward. Danae, we also pray for Eric. Please provide them a church building and bless their crusades and prayer meetings. Please save many souls. And Holy Father God, we pray for many souls to be saved. Bless his family and ministry, and provide him and his family with a stable place to live and enough money to pay for it. Bless him with an advisor in the ministry. And Lord, we pray for Marge. Please help them to fulfill the great commission by bringing your word to the remaining people groups without scripture in their language. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. And Lord, we don't want to fail to pray for the hundreds of other people who have sent in prayer requests. We pray that you would hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray, Lord, for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry, all who have rededicated their life through the ministry, so that they can be blessed with these. We pray for all of them to be blessed with the salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings that you have bestowed upon them. And Lord, we pray for Amor, we pray for Rena Bathu, and we pray for Arthi. Help these to grow in the faith, and we pray for the others as well, salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, blessings upon all of the hundreds of folks that have gotten saved through this ministry. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you as well, which this is something we don't even give an invitation for, but people respond to the preaching of your holy word in many different ways as you speak to them in many different ways. We don't understand all of that. We just thank you for it. And we pray for the hundreds who have rededicated their life as well, that these would grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. We pray for Frederick. We pray for Christine. And we pray for Megan. And Holy Father God, we commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled for this 300th devotional in a row. It's titled Sight for the Blind by Billy Graham. John 9:25 says, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I try to explain the joy of following Christ, the thrill, the excitement, the exhilaration, knowing where I've come from, why I'm here, where I'm going. There's a reason for existence. There's a reason for getting up every morning of the year. I tried to tell you what I've found in Jesus Christ and in studying the scriptures. pardon me, and walking with him, Billy Graham said. And you say, I can't see that. Of course you can't. You are blind. Try to explain television to a blind man. He can understand a little of it, but it doesn't make sense to him. Try to explain a sunset to him. He's blind to it. These scales must be removed from your eyes, and only Christ can do that. He can remove them right now, and you can start living and seeing a whole new world that you never knew existed, if you will let him open your spiritual eyes. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together today around your holy word and prayer. We praise you and we give you the glory and the honor, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see day number 300. Lord, whenever you can do anything that many times, Lord, it is by your grace and by your might and by your power and your miracle-working power. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done and for what you're doing in our hearts and in our minds and lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and from hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of torment, pain, and an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of darkness, and hell is forever. That is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him," in Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "and thou you shall be saved." Believe that he died on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead on the third day by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him. So believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him, ask God to save you through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his holy Son, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Repeat after me in prayer and mean it from your heart, for the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, what is called the sinner's prayer. Millions have prayed a similar prayer, and you can pray it today, calling upon the Lord for your soul's salvation. Follow me in prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong and evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. And to turn from my evil and ungodly ways. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer, as we sing a song that we sung.